This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, a senior attending in neurosurgery.
And I'm Dr. Alara, a research fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Neurosurgical Review, published in 2026. It's a multi-center, propensity-matched cohort study titled The Role of Bone Flap Explantation in the Recurrence of Surgical Site Infection After Elective Craniotomy.
This is a topic that hits home for every practicing neurosurgeon. Surgical site infection, or SSI, is one of those complications that can turn a perfect elective case into a long-term challenge for both the patient and the surgeon. We know from the literature that SSI rates after craniotomy range anywhere from 0.7% to 4.1%.
Exactly, Dr. Aris. And while we all agree that management usually entails surgical debridement followed by antibiotic therapy, the real controversy has always been what to do with that bone flap. Do we clean it and put it back, immediate reimplantation, or do we take it out and perform a craniectomy, planning for a later cranioplasty?
Historically, that's been left to the discretion of the surgeon, which is often code for we don't have enough data. This study by Lucia and colleagues really attempts to fill that evidence gap. They looked at 160 patients across multiple centers, including university hospitals in Frankfurt, Mainz, and Heidelberg.
What's impressive here is the methodology. They used propensity score matching to create two balanced groups of 80 patients each. One group received bone flap reimplantation, and the other underwent explantation. They matched them specifically for age and frail score, which helps control for those baseline comorbidities like diabetes or smoking that we know influence wound healing.
And let's look at those inclusion criteria. These were elective craniotomies. They excluded emergency cases and those who only had burr hole trepanations. They really wanted to look at the elective population, where we have a bit more choice in our surgical strategy. So, Alara, what did they find when they looked at the recurrence of infection?
This is the headline finding. Recurrent SSI occurred significantly less often after bone flap explantation compared to reimplantation. We're talking 18% in the explantation group versus a staggering 49% in the reimplantation group. That gave a p-value of 0.001.
Nearly half of the patients who had their bone flap put back in ended up with a reinfection. That is a powerful number. And what makes this even more interesting is the baseline state of those patients. Alara, didn't the explantation group actually have worse infections initially?
You're right. The study notes that signs of intracerebral, subdural, and in most cases epidural infection generally led the surgeons to choose explantation. So even though the explantation group had signs of more extensive infection at the time of the revision, they still had a much lower rate of recurrence. It suggests that the bone flap itself acts as a significant reservoir for persistent pathogens, regardless of how well we think we're debriding it.
It's that classic biofilm problem on avascular bone. Now, let's talk about the clinical course. Often, we hesitate to do a craniectomy because we worry about a more complicated recovery or longer hospital stay. What did the data show there?
It was actually the opposite. Despite the more extensive initial infection, the postoperative hospitalization was shorter for the explantation group, 7 days compared to 12 days in the reimplantation group. That approached significance with a p-value of 0.051.
That's a critical point for residents and hospital administrators. Shorter stays reduce the healthcare burden, and more importantly, get the patient out of the hospital environment where they might be exposed to more resistant flora.
The researchers also performed a Cox regression analysis to identify independent predictors of recurrent SSI. They found a few factors that were associated with a reduced risk of recurrence. One was if the infection was limited to only the subcutaneous tissue.
Which makes sense. If it hasn't reached the bone or the deep spaces, you're dealing with a different beast. But they also mentioned perioperative antibiotic administration and that shorter post-revision hospital stay we just discussed.
Right. And in terms of microbiology, the study recorded cultures from intraoperative swabs. While the study followed the principles of the Declaration of Helsinki and had a robust follow-up, it's clear that once an infection involves the deep layers, the bone flap becomes a liability.
It's interesting to think about the long-term implications. If we explant, we are committing the patient to a second surgery, a cranioplasty, later on, using either alloplastic material or stored autologous bone. But if the alternative is a 49% chance of reinfection, which would likely lead to bone removal anyway, the proactive approach seems much more logical.
Exactly. The study authors argue that bone flap explantation ultimately improves outcomes by breaking the cycle of infection. They emphasize that while the decision is often left to surgeon discretion, this multi-center evidence strongly favors explantation to reduce the reinfection rate.
For the residents listening, I think the takeaway here is to look closely at your intraoperative findings. If you see signs of epidural or subdural involvement, or if the bone looks even remotely suspicious, the heroic attempt to save the bone flap might actually be doing the patient a disservice.
And for the medical students, it's a great example of how propensity score matching, using that 1-to-1 ratio with a caliper width of 0.2, can help us draw clearer conclusions from retrospective data by balancing out those tricky variables like the Frail score.
Absolutely. It moves us away from anecdotal surgical experience and towards evidence-based management. This study really highlights that in the battle against SSI, sometimes less is more, or in this case, less bone leads to less infection.
We should also note that the study didn't find a significant difference based on whether a resident or an attending was the primary surgeon, which is always an interesting variable in these multicenter reviews.
It comes down to the biology of the infection and the surgical strategy chosen, rather than just technical dexterity. Ilara, any final thoughts from the paper before we wrap up?
Just a reminder of the scope. This was a long-term review with data from 2006 all the way to 2020 at some centers. It's a solid look at a perennial problem. The authors were clear. Bone flap explantation is associated with substantially lower reinfection rates.
A vital piece of work for our field. Thank you, Dr. Ilara, for breaking that down. And thank you to our listeners for joining us at the Neurosurgery Hub. We hope this helps you in your next clinical decision-making process regarding post-craniotomy infections.
See you next time.